Our scripture reading for today has been slightly abbreviated since the bulletin was printed. It comes from the Epistle of Ephesians, chapter 2, and we'll be doing verses 10 through 22. For we are what God has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. So then remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups one and has broken down the dividing wall. That is the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting death to hostility, that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to God. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Thus ends the reading.
Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we call upon you this morning to open our hearts and open our minds. We call upon you this morning to let what I may say, what I may imply, and what I feel be something that someone needs this morning. All these things we ask in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all the children of God said, Amen. Who here remembers the Berlin Wall? You remember what it stood for? It started out in 1949 when the Allies had to divide up the loot, the win, the spoils of war. It wasn't much, it was devastated. Nazi Germany left Europe in shambles. But two great philosophies, capitalism and communism, drew a line through Europe. By 1952, it was clear to the communists they were losing the people. They were free to go to the west or stay in the east. By 1961, they erected a wall to divide the two philosophies. And nowhere could you look at that wall, that divisive, divided world better than Berlin. Berlin, a divided city, a wall that divided philosophies, divided people's lives, and divided a world. Who here, for the next 30 years, ever thought that wall would come down? I never thought it would. I thought it was a permanent fixture. One night, my father and I sat and watched on television as people scaled that wall. The people took that wall down, but not before the politicians had their say. John Kennedy stood at that wall and said, I am a Berliner. Ronald Reagan stood at that wall and he says, Mr. Gorbachev, take down this wall. But the story was, our two militaries were on a buildup. It was a race to see who would go broke first. The U.S. won, I think. One of the things that a wall does, according to Robert Frost. It builds good neighbors. Not. Paul, the Apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, knew a wall too. The wall was around the temple in Jerusalem. It was only 3 or 4 feet tall. It had many gates. And on each one of those gates was a sign. That sign says, if you cross this, you're going to get killed. Dead. You all know where deadline came from. It was the line that was around Andersonville, the South's answer to where the northern Yankees were prisoners of war. Anyone that passed that line was shot. It was called the deadline. Paul's wall. After Christ was crucified, shed his blood for our sins, for all man's sin, Paul was a bully. A bully. He persecuted. He drove Christians from their home. He harassed them. He followed them. He haunted them. And he had them stoned. A bully. One day he was on the Damascus Road and he was blinded. Who here has accidentally looked into the sun? And for the next few minutes, you're blinded. He was blinded for days because the light of Christ had hit him. Stopped him in the tracks. Stopped his ability to be a bully. He saw the light. And then he realized that it was his mission to bring everyone, not just the Jews, the clean, the circumcised, into the body of Christ. But it was to bring everybody, all of God's children, all of his creation in. Paul was arrested. Paul was put in prison because he was accused of bringing Gentiles across that line. That line divided the inner court and the outer court of the temple. God resided in that temple. Only the Jews could know God. Only the circumcised. What's wrong with this picture? Christ came for everyone. Not just for the Jews, not just for the clean. He came for everyone. Oh yeah, the Gentiles, they had their idols. They had their gods of many different colors. The bully turned crusader. The bully turned a preacher. The bully was arrested for defending the unclean. I've known bullies in my life. It started when I was about 13, 14 at Mona Shores High School, Muskegon, Michigan. Not some far off place, but right in. I didn't know why they were picking on me. I had no earthly idea. And it carried on. There were three things in my life I loved: the Scouts, the church, and music. And you can't keep me from the music. That bullying followed me in the Scouts. It was so bad I switched troops. They had a little nickname for me. And it was cutting. I lost my self-esteem, my self-confidence. I was a little guy. Today you try to bully me and you're going to get a fight. You're going to find a side of me that's scary. I hid out in the church. I was baptized at Temple Methodist. And I say Methodist. I did not delete United. It didn't exist. I was 13 when I became a member. And that became my haven. I had problems in Scouts outside of the bullying. I was little and I had trouble with the swimming and life-saving class. They wanted me to drag this Navy SEAL across the length of the Y pool in Muskegon. All I did was go down. But I was determined. And I told him, I'll see you next year. And he said, I'll be here for you. Wow, 1,000 years ago, but character building. A character that I did not know where it was going. Yesterday, my body overslept, and I traveled to Battle Creek, and I stopped off at the bookstore in Grand Rapids for a minute. So I changed my route. I went down M37, and I went by and through Dowling, Michigan, north of Battle Creek. There was a sign on the road. It says, Wesley Woods Retreat and Campground. When I was 14, it was late at night, we all took turns playing the piano in the chapel. I felt a strange warming. There are a few Methodists here. We know that that's what John Wesley said when he was at Aldersgate at a Pentecostal meeting. But I felt something different that night, as everybody was there was telling how they had been touched by God, and I was touched there by what they said. I felt called. I felt needed. And I felt good for the first time. I felt like I was good enough because the world was telling me I wasn't. Wow. He never quit asking me for things. But things changed. When I turned 18, I graduated from high school. Somewhere in the next 2 weeks, the pastor at the church was explaining the new rules of the new United Methodist Church. And he said, in this new church, if you are gay, you're not welcomed. He used the word homosexual. You're not welcome. And you will not be laity, and you will not be a pastor. And if you live in that lifestyle, you will be considered in sin. The big S word. I walked out that day. I had been the president of the MYF. I had earned the most. The thing that was most important to me was not the eagle, because I never could get Mr. Belcom down that pool, but was the God and Country Award from Scouts. That was my achievement, my crowning. And I wasn't wanted. I wasn't needed. I walked out of that church, and within 30 days, I had not smoked, I had not drank, and I was a virgin. Check, check, check. And I was in trouble with the law. I'd been drinking, and I was on the swings down at Pier Marquette Park, and I couldn't move because I didn't know what booze was all about. My feet didn't work. For the next 12 years, I hid from God's call in a bottle. Not every day, but when I drank, I could silence those voices calling me. Paul. Good old Paul. Something about Paul that resonates in my head about the do's and the don'ts of sex. And he thought we shouldn't have it. We shouldn't even enjoy it. And they were expecting a second coming of Christ in his time. But it wasn't happening overnight, so he thought maybe we should have sex again. I don't know why those words always stuck in my head, but I wondered about poor Paul. Sometimes I think he's Danny DeVito, little short guy with all the answers. But Paul went through life like I did. I stumbled and I fell and I picked myself up and learned from my mistakes. And at 30, I realized I was going to live a little longer. So I better take care of me. I got sober. And I witnessed hell. I witnessed 21 of my closest friends that passed with AIDS. In AA, I lost friends because the last thing you worried about when you were drunk was getting a condom on and having sex. There was a death sentence. And the president, he had an answer for it. The same one that stood at the Berlin Wall. It's God's will. Gee, you know, even Paul said sex wasn't to be death. Good old Paul. Paul brought the Gentiles into the body of Christ. Christ is there for us. Christ has always been there for us. The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is for peace. God made us wonderful. And out of that session Tuesday night, I resignate. The litmus test for any scripture, is it love? If it isn't, then we might be looking at it wrong. I had a strange awakening in 2004. And people around me said, you know, things are changing in the Methodist Church. I told my pastor that one of my greatest regrets was never becoming a Methodist pastor. And I said, but I can't because I'm a recovering alcoholic. He says, you can, I am. He said, and then I said to him, but I'm too old. He says, you're younger than me. And I said to him, but I'm gay. And he says, we'll keep that one to ourselves. I had a partner. He served the military, the Air Force, and the Florida National Guard for almost 20 years. He said, I had what it takes. He said, you're good enough. And he said, sex isn't that important to me. If you have to take the vow of celibacy to be a pastor in the Methodist Church, we can do it. Because you need to save lives. You have a story of dynamics that people need. They want to hear it. They want to know that there's another side to the drugs, the alcohol. But he stopped short of saying, of being gay. Because the last thing he ever wanted to do was be gay. And the last thing I ever did. But that same-sex attraction was born. And today I realize it's a blessing. And God sent a peace over me. A peace. When you discover that you have the same-sex attraction, there's three things that will happen to you. Number one, you'll define it for yourself. Number two, you have to go through a self-acceptance. And number three, you have to make a disclosure to the world in order to keep your sanity. There was nobody to guide me through that. What a marvelous thing it would have been if the church could have guided me through that. What a marvelous thing. What if the church had said, you're okay just the way you are, God doesn't create any junk? What would have happened? I might not have been as tough as I was, but I'm here. I'm standing here. And I'm still called. And I'm called by God and not any denomination. But it sure is life. Christ never wanted us not to be in community. So this isn't a Lone Ranger thing. This is a community thing. I walked in that door 3 months ago, and I felt something different. I felt something warm. I felt something kind. I felt peace. I felt peace. When you leave here today, spread peace. When you come back, be in peace. And Christ will be with you. He will be with you because you are doing His work. You are doing the work that other people refuse to do because they're following the temple rules. They're building a wall. And they're building it against their own children. Mike and I went back to school. We racked up degrees. We had good jobs. But I still had a job to do after all of that. And it's to spread the word that Christ is peace. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, let us go from here. Let's go from here to be the true disciples. The Jews missed the call to be the disciples, but we can pick up the baton and carry on because it is what it is, and it is your world, and you created everything perfect in it, and everyone, everything, every flower, every tree, every rock, and all these things we do in your glory and not ours. And all the children of God said,